What a great hymn we have in our songbooks, The Old Rugged Cross. And that's a good song that's been around for many, many years. A lot of these older songs, you know, they have so much depth to them and theological significance. And this morning, I'd like for us to discuss The Old Rugged Cross, this song, together. And of course, this song is put together based upon the death of Jesus Christ on that cross. And so let's look at John 19 and verses 16 through 19 as we begin our lesson this morning and think about what happened on that old rugged cross. It says in verse 16, "Then he," that is Pilate, "delivered him," that is Jesus, "to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place, the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on that cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This song, The Old Rugged Cross, was written by Bernard Shaw, George Bernard Shaw, in 1913. And it is a meditation on what happened on the cross and why what happened on the cross happened. And he wrote this hymn, and the chorus of the hymn says, "So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown." We need to ask ourselves this question, that while we are singing this song, do we mean the words that we're singing? Do we cherish the old rugged cross? Will we cling to the old rugged cross? Is that the foremost thing in our minds? Have we set that as our priority each and every day of our lives? Well, let's think about the stanzas to this song, The Old Rugged Cross. And there are three that we're going to consider this morning. First of all, at the old rugged cross, the dearest and best was slain for a world of lost sinners. Second, at the old rugged cross, some were repelled, but others were attracted. And finally, at the old rugged cross, a Savior calls the saved to faithfulness and eternal life. So let's think about this song, The Old Rugged Cross, this morning. First of all, the dearest and best was slain for a world of lost sinners. And the stanza says, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain." An emblem is a representation of something, an example. And so the songwriter is saying here that this old rugged cross stood for, was an example of suffering and shame. And he's saying that instead of being ashamed of it, that he loves it, that he recognizes that in this life there is an acceptance of suffering and shame that we must make. And that old rugged cross stands for that. And that we must then embrace it so that we can understand what was done for us there. Namely, that the dearest and best was slain for a world of lost sinners. You know, the cross was an instrument of death for the capital offenders. It was Rome's worst method of putting to death the worst of the worst. And Rome crucified tens of thousands of people, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people with the cross. And the Romans would line those crosses up along the roads entering into Rome. And as you entered into Rome, you could see all of the crosses on the side of the road. You could see all of the offenders who were being put to death on the side of the road. And the cross then was not a dignified death. The cross was not a death that was respected. The cross was something that people stayed away from. They loathed it, and they thought very poorly of those who were hung upon the cross. What happened when one was crucified on a cross? Their wrists were nailed to a wooden beam. Their ankles were nailed. There's been some evidence from archaeology that the ankles were nailed to the sides of the cross, not in the front of the cross, but maybe some were nailed in the front, some were nailed in the sides. And then the victim was left to hang on the cross. And Rome usually left them there to die. And sometimes that would take several days for the victim to die on the cross. And then when they died, they would leave them there and let the bodies rot and fall down off of the cross. It was not a pretty death. It was not a death that one desired. And it was designed to dissuade people from doing terrible things. And it was very effective in its time for dissuading people from doing things that they shouldn't do. A wedge was placed behind the back of the victim on the cross so that they could not get a complete breath unless they pushed up on their feet in order to breathe. And so a lot of times the victims would just slowly suffocate while they were on the cross. The cross was shameful for the Jew because the law said, "Cursed are those who hang on a tree." And Paul quotes that Old Testament law in Galatians 3, verse 13, when he says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." And so when we think about that old rugged cross, we think about this stanza: the dearest and best was slain for a world of lost sinners. You see, Jesus was innocent. He wasn't guilty of any sin. Pilate said in John 18, 38, and 19, 4, and 6, "I find no fault in him." Three times he said that. But yet, to please the crowd, he relinquished and allowed them to crucify an innocent man on the cross. The worst death that you could possibly imagine. And an innocent man had to suffer that death. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, Paul wrote these words, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, Jesus knew no sin. He was innocent. He was guiltless. Peter says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." 1 Peter 2:22. And in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, the Holy Spirit says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And so an innocent man was placed there on that cross, and he was placed there for a reason. For a world of lost sinners. What does a world of lost sinners have to do with an innocent man being crucified on a cross? Well, the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. In Romans 4 verse 25, we read that he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And 1 John 2 and verse 2 says, "And he is the propitiation," or the satisfactory offering, "for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For a world of lost sinners, Jesus Christ was slain on that cross. It was the payment, if you will, for the sins of the world. It was the sacrifice that a sinner needed to have his sins forgiven. And it could only have been offered by an innocent man, by one who was willing to pay the price for someone else. Because you see, the guilty, they cannot offer a price for their guilt. They can only prostrate themselves at the feet of the court on which sits the judge of the world. And the judge, when he sees sin, says, "You are guilty, and your life must be forfeit." But Jesus said, "I will pay the price. I will satisfy justice. I will do what no sinner could ever do for himself." And so he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And he was offered as the satisfactory sacrifice, as a sin offering for a world of lost sinners. At the old rugged cross, the dearest and best was offered for a world of lost sinners. But then secondly, at the old rugged cross, some are repelled, but others are attracted. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Now, when we think about this stanza, we think about how that old rugged cross, from a worldly point of view, it just seems that a tragic ending to a life has taken place. That cross was despised. That cross was rejected. When you walked into Rome, you didn't want to have anything to do with it. And to think that God would use that cross to exercise judgment is unthinkable. No one would have ever predicted that. No one would have ever thought about that, but God did. He saw an opportunity in what the world looked at as a terrible, terrible fate. But God said, "I can take that cross and I can make it mean something for everyone in the world." For there, he took his only begotten Son, the dear Lamb of God, and he sacrificed him for the world. The cross is certainly despised by the world. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world despises what Jesus did on that cross. Why is that? Because many in the world, all they're looking for is power and wealth and control. And they believe that what Jesus did was something to be despised. Why, who in the world ever gets ahead by sacrificing themselves is the way many think. You've got to take what you can get and get what you can take. Isn't that how many think in this world today? And so they despise the idea that someone would lay down their life for another. They despise the idea of humility and service. They despise the idea that one would come into the world, the very Son of God, not to take control of the world, but to serve it. And Jesus said, Come, the Son of Man comes to serve. And so the world despises that old rugged cross. But some are attracted to it. Some recognize that truly seeking after power and wealth and control and those matters is not all it's cut up to be. That there's something more to life than just doing that. And the cross draws those people. Jesus said in John 12, verse 32, "And if I be lifted up from the cross, will draw all men unto me." 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, Paul wrote, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." Yes, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Romans 2 and verse 4. And when we look at that old rugged cross and the one who hung on it for the sins of the world, we see the goodness of God. A God who would give His only begotten Son so that men might be saved, that they might be redeemed out of their sins, that they might have a chance, a hope of living the abundant life and having eternal life. Some are repelled, but others are attracted. In Romans 5, verses 6 and 7, we read, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And John wrote in 1 John 4, verse 10, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the satisfactory offering for our sins." God's Son gave up everything He had to prove that God loved mankind. And so some are attracted. But then finally, at the old rugged cross, the Savior calls the saved to faithfulness and eternal life. Let's look at this last stanza of this great hymn. "To that old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me one day to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share." Being true to that old rugged cross. Now that's something that the author of this song thought that we needed to do. And the Bible tells us that we need to be true to that old rugged cross. Think about Matthew chapter 16 and verses 24 through 26. Here Jesus is talking to His disciples about priorities and what to value. And He says this, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So many are pursuing the things of this life. And we see that every single day. Going after power and wealth, lust and gain, control and glory in this life. And think nothing of what will happen when this life is over. And think nothing of what they are doing to their life right now even. Is that what we really want? To make our life all about the pursuit of carnal things? Or should we take time in this life not to pursue that which is just fleeting, that which will one day disappear, But take time to focus upon what is eternal, what is lasting, what never changes. Friends, family, loved ones, relationships, and most importantly, our relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you will lose your life for my sake, you will find it. And after having lived a life for Jesus Christ, one can look back on that life and say, you know what? I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Because I didn't spend my life pursuing something that's fleeting, something that will disappear, something that means nothing now that I am upon my deathbed. Instead, I made it about things that matter. Will that be us? Will we cherish the old rugged cross? Will we gladly bear the shame and reproach? Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And Jesus said in Revelation 2 verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. A crown of life is promised for those who would cherish the old rugged cross. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, that is appointed unto once, or once unto men to die, but after this, the judgment. But Jesus said to those who would be faithful to Him, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said in John 10, 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Christ wants us to be with Him in eternity, forever. Will we cherish that old rugged cross? Will we be true to it? Will we gladly bear its reproach and shame so that one day He will call us to that home far away where His glory forever will share? And then the chorus. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. The crown of righteousness is laid up for us. Will we lay hold on it by cherishing that old rugged cross? My trophies at last I lay down. What are our trophies? What is it that's valuable to us? Are we laying them at the cross? You can lay them at the cross now, or you can lay them at the cross later, but they will be laid at the cross one way or another. So you might as well do it now. Why hold on to the things that are holding you back from Christ? Why hold on to the things that are holding you back from being the fullest servant of Jesus Christ that you can possibly be? Let's not get distracted by the things of this world. And they are distracting. And we think that there are so many things that are pressing upon us that we must pursue every day. But there's really only one thing that we need. The old rugged cross. Let's hold on to that and let go of everything else. Will you cling to that old rugged cross? Maybe you need to do that this morning. Maybe you need to come to the cross. Maybe you realize that the message of the cross is a message that attracts you, and you want to start living a life for Jesus Christ. You can do that today. Hear His word and believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins so that you can participate in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And for you, that old rugged cross will be the thing that you cherish, and you can cherish it for the rest of your life, live the abundant life, and have eternal life when this life is over. Why would you reject such a wonderful and beautiful offer? But in rejecting that offer, or in accepting that offer, you must accept that old rugged cross. Why not accept it this morning? While together we stand and while we sing.